Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, the place to get your latest and greatest Steelers information. And I'm David Todd of ESPN Pittsburgh and the Steelers Radio Network. It's Season 6, Episode 106. And Dave, I'm in California, baby. I'm a Cali boy for the weekend, a family wedding. And I got a chance to sit through the first round. I was a little late for the family party yesterday. So be it. It was an engaging and entertaining first round. We have a ton to get to today. And, of course, the Steelers' first-round pick, Artie Burns.
Yeah, how do you think people would fare at trying to get me at a family function to during a draft? you love your family, don't you?
Yeah. Well, they saw me at some point. I will apologize in advance to anybody for any audio difficulties we have. It's not my normal setup here. I am looking at the Pacific Ocean. It's early in the morning, and happy to be here, but just as happy to be talking draft as always.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about that, the first round, leading up to.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's where we should start. And let's kind of go through the draft, and then we'll spend the second half talking about what the Steelers did. Dave, the draft started with pick number three. The first two picks went as expected, and there's really virtually nothing to say about them. And it's the San Diego Chargers. And I think the Chargers probably surprised people because I think, you looked at who they were going to take. And I think the question was, is it going to be Laremy Tunsil? Was it going to be Jalen Ramsey? Or was it going to be, potentially Miles Jack? And none of those three guys, maybe even DeForest Buckner was probably your fourth choice. None of those guys went. They went Joey Bosa. And that obviously set the stage for the rest of the first round.
What is it that I keep reminding you that Bill Parcells said for eons and eons? If you draft near the top of the draft, you better get a quarterback. If you don't, you better get a guy that can protect the quarterback. If not that way, you better get a guy that can get after the quarterback. Something to keep in mind year in and year out, I think, because those are three very, very important positions. And look, Joe, I mean, make no mistake, Joey Bosa is a beast, right? I think I had the Chargers going Jalen Ramsey. In my opinion, that's what I thought they were going to do. But, it's going to be interesting to see them try to work Joey Bosa into what you would think would be a typical 3-4 outside linebacker. Now, with that said, As everybody's kind of stated since the picks made, they're going to be in so much nickel anyway. Kind of four man front. He's basically going to be doing what he was doing at Ohio State. Just might not have his hand in the dirt so much, but there's no doubt he can get after the quarterback. So yeah, you're right. That kind of even though we knew he was one of the top rated players in the draft, not many people had Joey Bosa going to the Chargers.
Yeah, exactly. And really, that's the interesting thing, Dave, is I think everybody had him as a top five player in the draft, and nobody had him going to the Chargers. So he goes to the Chargers, and that sets things up here for Dallas. And I'm tweeting this as we speak, and kudos to Lewis Riddick, Dave, because you know how the running back position has been de-emphasized, and we see what happened with Le'Veon Bell, and I think that made people reevaluate. I honestly do think Le'Veon Bell made people reevaluate the running back situation, and that was even more strongly emphasized with the success that Todd Gurley had last year and coming off the knee injury. And Lewis Riddick said that Ezekiel Elliott was one of the top five players in this draft, if not the best player in the draft. And I'll tell you, Ron Jaworski said it as well, but when nobody, not a soul had Ezekiel Elliott in the top 10 picks 6 weeks ago, a month ago, and Lewis Riddick said, this guy, I don't know who it's going to be, but this guy should go in the top five. I think he's going to be a top five pick. And Dallas went and got him. And Dave, I love this pick because we all know how good Dallas's offensive line is. And, you know, we know Romo's injury prone. Well, you still got Dez on the outside. They'll have an opportunity to go receiver here again here. And, you know, look, they need some defensive help. But I just think this is a really good pick for them for the next couple of years.
I disagree, and it's not because I don't think Elliott's a great back. I just think David, you could run behind that line maybe, right?
and that's an absolutely fair point.
With that said, look, Ezekiel Elliott, what sets him apart, and this is a very important thing that I've learned probably over the last couple of years when it comes to evaluating running backs. You can look at them stats-wise. You can look at them what they do past the line of scrimmage. But I think it's very important to look at what running backs do in their own backfield as far as being able to avoid tackles and not having tackles for loss and being able to adjust on in their own backfield. And Le'Veon Bell is a perfect example of that. How many times do you see Le'Veon Bell tackled in his own backfield? Well, Ezekiel Elliott has that kind of skill set too, and then let alone how he does picking and choosing his holes. He can definitely run the inside zone. Can run the outside zone if necessary. More of an inside power runner, if you will. But I just think, David, personally, with the running back position being so kind of fungible, as we always talk about, it's not an awful pick. But I think personally, knowing how their secondary is, I think I would have went Jalen Ramsey. And like I said, there's no disrespect to Ezekiel Elliott, who I think obviously is going to be the, looking back 5 years from now, has the best chance of saying, man, what a great running back that is. But to me, I would have went Jalen Ramsey.
And I can't argue with that because Ramsey's my, my favorite player in the draft. But, so you get my perspective on what I liked about Zeke. Then we go to number five. And, Dave, you're going to have to help me out on some of these things because – I'm watching the draft in a bar, and there was some sound, but at the same time, I'm trying to watch the Penguin game, so there's a lot going on, and I'm not hearing everything. And about, I did hear this before the draft, and this is about the time maybe that ESPN acknowledges this picture from Laramie Tunsil of Laramie Tunsil with, the gas mask, bong, basically. So what were they saying, Dave? I've read some of what the story is, but what was being talked about?
Well, first of all, this started right at about the time, it started surfacing on Twitter.
10 of 8, right before the draft?
Right as the draft getting started there. So you have that. A lot of people had Tunsil kind of penciled in maybe for the Ravens if he got bypassed by the Chargers. Because, obviously the Cowboys don't need a tackle and neither do the Jaguars, really, for that matter. So a lot of people had him slated there. Once the networks finally decided to start running with the story, I think it was about the time that the Ravens, were on the clock here.
Yeah.
What do you mean? What was saying? I think they're just saying.
Let me ask you this: do we know when the picture was taken? I mean, it obviously wasn't taken 15 minutes before the draft. Could it be 2 years old? Nobody has. Does anybody have a time stamp on it?
They're trying to say, I think, 5 years ago. But, boy, he sure doesn't look. He looks like a man child in that thing. Now, he's obviously a big kid and probably has been for a while. So it's probably 5 to a couple years. And here's the thing. I can't remember if this was originally posted to YouTube by Tunsil or his own Twitter page or something like that. I think the video was out there and then got removed by Tunsil and then, of course, resurfaced, had his Twitter account hacked. Several speculating that his stepdad, who has a lawsuit going on with, has something to do with that.
Like
most things, though, David, once the bad part of it surfaced, I pretty much gave up on following who, where, why, and how, kind of thing.
Okay, fair enough. So let me, here's what I said on Twitter last night when I was seeing this, obviously sarcastically. Apparently NFL teams are worried Tunsil would be a real problem in a locker room, bringing the weed presence into a weed-free environment. Let me ask you, Dave, honest opinion, do you think the emergence of that picture affected one guy in any draft room.
Do I think it hurt?
Because if it did, that person should be fired.
Yeah, do you think it impacted any team's decision making?
All right, you're breaking up a little bit there for some reason, but I think it impacted. I think people took Tunsil off the board. Yes.
Just because of that picture? Do you think they learned something new because of that picture?
Well, it was a video.
Okay. Do you think they learned something new because of that video? Nobody in the world suspected that Laramie Tunsil might smoke weed.
I'm not saying that. I think they just didn't want the baggage that comes along with it. I mean,
okay, that's fair.
It's the video evidence. Look, look, we could create a whole damn episode of the podcast related to how many players may or may not smoke weed in the NFL. Okay. And the right or wrong, or, you know, however you feel on that. I don't think that's the point. I just think it's the damning evidence associated with it.
Okay. So we get to pick number five here, and it's hard not to like this pick for this team. Jacksonville takes Jalen Ramsey. I don't know if it's a no-brainer, but it's pretty much a no-brainer, right?
Yeah, that's a steal. I mean, what a gift! Run that card up to the podium immediately. Not only that, of course, he played his college football right down the road at Tallahassee. That's going to help your season tickets. Yada yada yada. It's a win on so many levels for Jacksonville.
Okay. Stanley to the Ravens at six. Obviously, the pick is, you know, they're making the pick between Tunsil and Stanley. I assume Stanley goes. I don't think anybody has any problem there. I thought they might go DeForest Buckner. They didn't. So 6 and 7 go Stanley. And then Chip Kelly, who obviously coached at Oregon, recruited Buckner, gets Buckner at 7.
Yeah, Stanley, I mean, you can understand it. Definitely a clean character in that regard. You know, Eugene Monroe, who knows, you know, do they let Eugene Monroe play out this fine, you know, play out this year? One would think they probably would, but after that, Eugene Monroe's gone. They need a future left tackle. His tape against Clemson and Shaq Lawson wasn't great, but how many other tackles? Tape against Shaq Lawson, not so great either. I think he might surface on the right side initially for the Ravens, and then eventually move over to the left side. DeForest Buckner, I mean, you put I actually got that pick right. You put two and two together, and you get the San Francisco Duck.
Okay. To me, Tennessee is a huge winner here. The idea that they wanted a tackle in the first round, they're going to take Tunsil up top, and they move back, they get a bevy of picks, and then they move up, and, you know, they get a choice of Tunsil. They can take him, and they take Conklin. I can't tell you, you know, how to separate the three tackles who go here in the first 13 picks, but you have to be for a young GM on the job, you have to kind of like the way he managed this, I think.
Well, look, they got a position of need. I think Conklin, I think that's a little high for Conklin personally. In fact, I might have taken Declan over Decker over Conklin. Regardless, what I think though, they needed the position. That, you know, they obviously got a bevy of picks with the earlier trade. So, hard to criticize the pick.
Dan, I didn't see what Cleveland got in this, and obviously Cleveland's managing this, and we'll get into Cleveland in a minute. But do you know what the terms were, Dave?
Was it?
Okay, I'm looking at it. Picks number 43 and 45. So two second-rounders for Cleveland.
Yeah, and great. And a lot of people have speculated that they might.
I'm sorry. So Cleveland got a first and a third-rounder in 17. And gave up. Let me make sure I get it. So anyway, Cleveland moves back again is the point, obviously. And Tennessee gets their tackle. Okay, so moving forward from pick number eight. Now the Bears move up with Tampa. was this a necessary trade, Dave? And you know, Floyd's a guy who's an athletic freak. He's a guy who's moving up on boards in the last couple of days. A lot of people had him going in the range between basically right here and 14 in his five-pick range. So they got their guy. I'm just wondering if they would have not gotten their guy had they not moved.
Well, I think I wrote as much on Twitter. You know, did they really have to move up to do that? Or no, that was actually the who was it? Oh, the Texans was the one that I had the issue with as far as the trade. Here's the thing about Leonard Floyd. He can definitely get after the pass rusher. Kind of wonder about his fit kind of in a 3-4, especially as, you know, against a run. But make no mistake, they need help getting after the passer. So, you know, could they have gotten two picks later? Well, here's the thing. There was a lot of speculation that the Giants might go after Leonard Floyd as well, too. So that's probably
why. McShay said the Giants are the team that got screwed here because they wanted Conklin or Floyd. And so two teams move in front of them and take Conklin and Floyd. And this is probably, you know, I think everybody's going to come out the same on this, is the Giants got a good football player in Eli Apple. It's just a question of, you know, if you're ranking your board, you have Apple somewhere probably between 15 and 25, and they took him at 10. So does that make it a bad pick? No, it doesn't make it a bad pick, but it probably wasn't the guy they were targeting.
Right. Remember, you know, they had some turnover in the secondary, of course, with Mukamara, right? They needed a corner. So much higher than I would have probably taken Apple. You know, they definitely had their choice of Apple or Hargraves and went with the bigger, you know, the bigger guy. You know how I feel about Apple. Not a huge, huge fan. He's going to have a lot of pass interference calls against him at the NFL.
We'll see him December 4th in Pittsburgh. So we'll get our first look at some of these guys. And obviously, Steelers fans will be targeting, you know, looking at how all these young corners play. So circle December 4th on your calendar. Eli Apple, you know, playing against the Steelers, you get a chance to look at him. Tampa, nice job by them. I don't know if Hargraves was always their guy, but he was kind of in the very first mocks, targeted to them at 9 if he fell that far. He's the guy who slid down most people's mocks here. As the as we got closer to the draft, he really did not he was a faller, not a riser down the stretch. So the only thing I'll say is, if he was always Tampa's guy, good for them to get a number 4 out of it and get him at 11.
That's exactly right. You move down, you still get your guy, and much like with Ramsey, staying in state is going to be a draw that way to Tampa. So you have to applaud the pick.
Yeah, good call by you on both those guys going to both the Florida teams taking local guys. And, you know, I'm sure that wasn't the reason for the pick, but I'm sure that's a nice bonus around it. Sheldon Rankins was locked and loaded to New Orleans, like, on January 1st. This was the most obvious fit pick. I mean, everybody had this pick, and this is how it went down. I don't have anything to say about it other than I think Rankins is a good football player, and New Orleans needs help all over the place. So it is what it is.
I actually got this one right as well, too. So if I got it right, it probably was pretty obvious, right?
I'm guessing nobody in the world got the next one right. I don't know if it's more likely that somebody picks a perfect bracket in the NCAA tournament or perfect first round draft chart, because nobody will ever get the first round right ever in the history of time. So Tunsil drops to 13, Dave. I mean, as far as the value pick goes, you can't argue with it. A lot of people think he's the best player in the draft. And I have, you know, look, I'm a character guy. I'm a locker room guy. But I'm also a, you know, is the guy a bad guy or is the guy a knucklehead? And obviously, I think that if you're going to pick and choose, you'd rather have the knucklehead. So maybe Tunsil did some dumb stuff. He had to live through the embarrassment of last night. You know, maybe that puts a chip on his shoulder. But, you know, good for Miami. They took the best player on the board.
Oh, it'll be interesting in that locker room, right? In that regime. Look, great player. It'd be interesting to see if he learned from his mistakes now and can use it as a chip to make him. Look, if anybody has the best chance of being a Hall of Famer out of this class, it's probably him, right?
Oh, that's a good call. That's a good call. It might be the next
and
guy.
I threw that out to my Twitter followers as well, too, and I think a few of them said either Tunsil or Ezekiel Elliott.
Or the next guy. And I'm going to let you talk about this, Dave, because I think you were on this early. I talked about Lewis Riddick being on Ezekiel Elliott. I think you were on Carl Joseph. You know, not that people didn't know he was a good football player, but I think you were really, really got keen on him a couple weeks ago. Thought he would be a great pick for the Steelers at 25. You had him as their pick in your last mock. I liked it a lot. This probably had to surprise even you a little bit that he went here.
Yeah, but I knew it was a possibility, and really, I don't think I was out of, to be honest with you, I don't think I was out ahead, really, of many people. Look, I mean, without the knee injury, this guy was going to be a top, the top-rated safety, obviously, anyway. And if he didn't have the knee injury, he's probably guaranteed to go into top 20. So then it becomes the whole medical things. If the medicals check out, is there really a reason for him to drop down the board? I speculated that maybe he would drop a little bit. I speculated wrong. He's a great football player. It's a shame. It's a shame, yes, guy. I'm not a big Raiders fan by any stretch of the imagination, stemming back to my time as a child, of course, being a Steelers fan. But he hits like a Raider. And, they obviously, with Charles Woodson now out of there, they needed some help on the back end. They got a great player to help replace him. So the knee obviously checked out in Oakland.
Yeah, you know, we had a phase there in free agency where we were starting to do Raiders Depot. And my view of other teams, I go in cycles about whether I like what they're doing or not like what they're doing. And as you saw me, get fancy on the Eagles with Chip Kelly there and different teams at different times. I love what the Raiders have done the past couple of years. I think you and I both like what they did in free agency. Now, I think this is just a great additional pick. I mean, you look at the picks they've made over the last couple of years, and you can start with David Carr. You throw in Amari Cooper and a bunch of other guys. I mean, they've hit on their top picks. I know you think that what they did on the offensive line was unbelievably good, and they added a piece in the free agency. So I really think this team, I don't know that they win the West this year, but, man, look out for the Raiders in the next couple of years. And I really think look out for change in the AFC here with what's been going on. So they nailed that pick at 14. And then, Dave, we get to the Browns here. And here's my problem. And I'm going to defend the Browns to the hilt in terms of what they've done. They're going to have 1,000 picks over the next 2 years, and they've made one of them. We know that they have no depth. We know that they let four of their best players walk in free agency. We know that they're not going to win any games this coming year. I mean, if they win four, it'll be a surprise. We know they don't have a quarterback. But we also know they don't have anything else. And they now have, it seems like 30 picks. They're going to have all the comp picks next year. They have multiple first-rounders. Next year they're going to drive the draft for sure. They'll probably have the number one overall pick. They got the Eagles first rounder. They can package picks to go up and get any quarterback they want. I just think they are set. Now, do I know that Corey Coleman's, the guy? All I know is Corey Coleman's fast as hell. And if you're going to have something, if you're going to have one trait, if you don't have any others, if you're going to have one, it might as well be speed because everybody has to respect speed. So they had their pick of all the wide receivers. They took Coleman at 15. Is it probably a little bit of a reach? Yeah, but they haven't had a receiver in forever. So now they got one, and they can add another one today in a deep receiver draft. I mean, what if they take Tyler Boyd in the third round? All of a sudden, that's a pretty damn good pairing. I mean, that's just a name to throw out. But I'm going to defend the Browns here, Dave. I like where they are. I don't have a strong view on the pick that it was a good pick or a bad pick, but I like what they're doing.
I don't think it was a reach, but by any stretch of imagination, he's a good receiver. Needs to work on his route running, but most of these guys, especially these kind of spread offense guys, have to do that coming out, right? So you're probably not going to get an immediate return on your investment this year, but a year of good coaching, and he should acclimate just well in the NFL. I wrote on Twitter immediately after pick. I think the Browns got this right. I mean, they've stockpiled picks. They moved down. They got a need. They got a damn good football player in the process. So I hate to admit it, to Steelers fans, but they already look like they're going in the right direction. And like we said earlier, you can't make a bad pick if you hold off making one. But I think they got this right. It'd be interesting to follow and see what happens the rest of this draft.
Okay, I'll let you talk about this one because you mentioned Decker earlier. You've watched a lot more tape on him than I have. Maybe he projects as a right tackle in the NFL. But this is not a sexy pick if you're a Detroit fan. You lose Calvin Johnson. You're looking at it and say, what the hell. But I do know their new GM who came from the Patriots talked about it pre-draft, talked about their need to build the offensive line. Again, not sexy, probably right where he should go. And probably fits a need for the Lions.
Yeah, and if you probably asked them, they probably thought Conklin would be there for them. And once again, a guy they know a lot about from Michigan State there. So, but they obviously need offensive line help, a tackle specifically. Do we really need to start differentiating between left and right tackles? From here on out, because if you don't have a good one, other defenses are going to exploit it, right? But with that said, blindside obviously has more value. I think he will initially probably get worked in on the right side, but like I mentioned with Ronnie Stanley, I think he eventually flips over to the left maybe at some point in time. Obviously a first-round guy, a first-round grade, one of the top 3-4 tackles in this year's draft. So the pick makes sense for the Lions.
Okay. Next pick going at, 17, the Falcons here. And this was the first pick that probably surprised. This is the first guy who, in our poll of people picking 40, this might be the first guy that got people left off. I don't think there's, I don't think anybody in the top 16, if you're following the draft, every one of the guys you had on. Now, a lot of people probably had this guy in their top 40. But if you didn't, I wouldn't say you're a fool. Keanu Neal out of Florida, doesn't have top end speed, but people like him. Dave, I didn't love the pick here for the Falcons. I would have liked to see him add another edge rush. Or I don't know if Shaq Lawson would have been the guy here. Again, we're not knocking the player here. I just didn't love the pick.
Yeah, I thought it was a little high, David. Now, depending on who you talk to, some people had him as a late first round safety. I viewed him more as a second round guy. In fact, a mid to late second round guy. Not a lot of really playing time experience. 19 games started.
19 games. Yep.
And four interceptions, I think, somewhere around the. Now he had a whole heck of a lot of tackles last year. Now 96 of them. This guy has a hammer. This guy will hit you for sure. Florida product, obviously not straight line speed that you would probably think if you're drafting a first round safety. Young seems to be a really good kid. Just a little high for my liking, to be honest with you.
Yeah, there's nothing sexy about O-line picks here in the next one. Ryan Kelly goes to Indy, and he's a really, real high floor for this guy. Smart guy, very athletic. He's Jeff Saturday for the next 10 years, plug and play.
Yeah, best center in, best center in the draft. He might be able to play some guard, too.
Shaq Lawson goes to the Bills. I think you probably like that as a team that was, really didn't get to the quarterback last year. They had issues. Looks like a good pick to me.
Yeah, look at what they lost as far as pass rushers, right? That they had to replace. This was a definite need. I don't think Rex Ryan hid his love for Clemson players in the past either. There's obviously that old clip of him, or that recent clip of him putting on the Clemson Tiger helmet. But Shaq Lawson's a fit. He you know, regardless of when or if he needs shoulder surgery, he's going to do just fine. And this guy's going to get a lot of sacks in the NFL, especially in that aggressive defense that Rex Ryan runs.
The next pick, Dave, to me, I look at it, you know, I got to tell you, I don't know enough about Darren Lee. He's one guy I didn't really focus on at all in the draft. I mean, this is, what, the fifth Ohio State guy to go. They got three in the top ten. He becomes the fifth guy to go. A lot of people love his athleticism, Dave. I don't have a lot to say. I don't really know. I don't know enough about Darren Lee.
You know, being as how Miles Jack fell, I mean, he was arguably one of the better, you know, inside or inside outside guys. Talk about more specifically, kind of 4-3 guys, if you will. You know, I mean, it comes out of a great program. He has all the tangibles, athleticism, not afraid to hit you. You know, I understand the pick. Most definitely, you know, they need a kind of guy that can take over at second level of that defense in New York. So, you know, not sexy, but understandable.
Okay, let's get back into the trade situation. Just to clarify, if you didn't see it, what the Browns got for that, for moving back from 8 to 15, is they also gave up a number 6, which is pick 176 this year. They get a third this year, number 76. You know, I love that for them, and they get a second next year. So, again, that was that deal we talked about, to move back two spots. Tampa got a fourth-round pick. Now we got another trade, and this was a bit of an odd one here, and I'm guessing the Texans decided that, you know, one receiver was off the board in Corey Coleman, and they specifically knew exactly who they wanted to play with Nuke. And the thing is, what they wanted with Nuke, who is, I think, Dave, you and I would agree here, we love the guy, top five guys, top five receiver in the NFL for sure, is they wanted to put a burner with him, and the other burner was off the board. So they specifically wanted their guy, and Washington probably said, you know what, we're happy with any of the group of receivers, that we're happy to take the third receiver off the board. It doesn't matter if they take Doxson. It doesn't matter if they take Treadwell. It doesn't matter if they take Fuller. We'll take one of the other two, and we'll get a sixth for it. May not seem like a lot, but the move here is not the Texans worrying about the Skins. It's the Texans worrying about the Skins trading with somebody else. They specifically wanted this guy. They got their guy. So I don't have any problem with them giving up a sixth to get the guy they wanted.
Yeah, a peculiar moving up one spot, though. I mean, I don't think the Redskins were in love with Fuller. We'll never know.
you know. I think it was they were worried about what other team might move in to get him there.
Yeah, I mean, if you go at one spot and get your guy, all right. I mean, I kind of had a after that. So I like Will Fuller. I think I would have took Doxson. Or Treadwell over him, to be quite honest with you. I saw Fuller, in my opinion, more of a late first, kind of early second pick.
Yeah, and so Doxson then goes next. One thing I got right here was saying that there would be an absolute run of receivers in front of the Steelers, and that would be the best thing in the world that happened. I got it right until I got it wrong. So they take Doxson. The Skins do. Dave, I'm drawing a complete blank on the guy who catches 100 balls for the Skins every year and nobody talks about him.
Pierre Garçon?
Yeah, Pierre Garçon. So they get a guy to pair with him. It gives them another target. Good pick, right? Good pick for the Skins.
Yeah. Definite. Look, you knew they were probably going to go wide receiver or defensive line. So they addressed a wide receiver position. They gave they gave their quarterback another weapon.
Okay, so let's go back in time and talk about what we're both thinking right now at pick 23. Tell me what you're thinking about the Steelers pick right now. The Skins have just taken. Let's actually do the next pick. Minnesota takes Treadwell, and this is no surprise.
We can start right where you just said. Okay. After the selection of Doxson. I thought at that point, boy, the Steelers now have a selection of three guys, and three guys that I had narrowed down in my mock draft after, you know, after Carl Joseph, and that is Billings, that is William Jackson III, and that is Noah Spence. I said, all right, they're going to get one of those three guys. I was pretty sure about that.
And I'll agree, and I'll even go further. and say, I'll say exactly what you said, and I'll say, I'm thinking about not what I thought, but what the Steelers might think, as I say, okay, obviously they're going to have a choice of Mackenzie Alexander is going to be on the board for sure. And you know what? One or both of those Alabama defensive linemen are going to be on the board if they're in love with those guys. I said, there must be smiles all around in the Steeler war room right here. At pick 22, the Steeler draft room, and I was tweeting this, I said, the Steeler draft room, it must be as relaxed as you could ever be because they know they're going to get a guy they like.
Yeah, and it wasn't the guy that we thought.
No,
or that I thought.
Yeah, so Treadwell goes, and this was the least surprising pick, and you know, one of the three least surprising picks on the board. It's a great pick for Minnesota. My God,
I really thought they might go Andrew Billings there, to be quite honest with you, because there was that talk that they might go that route. Now, obviously, they did have the need for the receiver as well too there, but you know, they got Treadwell.
Okay, now here's the problem: there are four receivers. They're all gone. And so what are you thinking before the Bengals pick? Are you thinking D-line for them?
Yes. I thought, okay,
Jared
well, Billings.
Or Alshon Robinson or?
Or Billings. You know, any of those guys really would fit in that front. I thought defensive line for them being as how they weren't going to be able to get them a top receiver.
Me too. How surprised were you?
Very. Look at the corners they draft. Look at the corners they've drafted recently. I mean, they just keep hammering away, don't they?
Yeah. So let's say this. Let's get one myth out of the way here. The Bengals didn't take William Jackson III because they thought the Steelers were going to take him. Okay?
How dare you? You know that's exactly what they were doing. They thought we can't have the Steelers having William Jackson.
We're going to take our draft pick is going to be whoever we think the Steelers are going to take. That's how we're going to run our draft.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's how people set their draft boards.
All right. So
people believe that.
Okay. So he goes, all right, let's get to it. Now, one thing, and this is not meaningful, I don't think. But we see this now with the Steelers, and it makes me laugh every year. they're reading the pick of the team in front of them, and the Steelers are handing the card in, and I think they're saying, we don't need any buzz. Just read our pick.
Well, that too, and I think it's the hey, look, we got exactly the guy that we wanted, whether it in the sixth round, seventh round. This is the guy that we wanted all along. It just kind of gives that air of confidence when you turn that card in.
Absolutely.
Now, obviously, you have probably about 45 first-round cards already filled out probably but before you run up there. So the only thing that you have to do is make sure, you know, your intern grabs the right card. now here's the interesting thing when talking about Jackson, and here's where the conversation needs to be, or where the debate and the speculation needs to be. We're never going to probably know the answer to this. Now, even William Jackson said he thought the Steelers, he thought it probably at that point he was going to be a Steeler. He had no idea the Bengals were going to draft him. Would the Steelers have taken William Jackson had the Bengals not?
Yeah. Maybe when the Kevin Colbert memoirs come out 25 years from now, maybe we'll have an answer to that. We're probably not going to get, maybe some will get leaked over the next 2 weeks. David, so I'll just ask you, do you think Artie Burns is a good football player? Do you like the pick?
I gotta be careful here. Someone asked me last night, or at 3 a.m. in the morning, I should say, if how I like this pick compared to the Jarvis Jones pick a couple years ago. And I said I like it better because I had already seen the all the career sacks that Jarvis of Jarvis Jones even before the draft. I collected those. I knew who Jarvis Jones was as a player, what his upside, downside, and ceiling were, and I didn't like it. The thing with Artie Burns is I viewed him more as a second round, in fact, a mid to later kind of second round guy. Now, he is a height and speed kind of guy, but he is very, very raw as far as what the Steelers kind of look for in the kind of in the past, as far as them wanting more kind of zone off guys who tackle well, more experienced in the college game. Artie is just very, very, very raw and very, very, very young. He's not even going to turn, 21 until May the 1st, David, in a few more days. This kid
breaks a lot of, a lot of long-held assumptions about the Steelers. I mean, you were very right about this. Look, they go corner. You talk about all senior corners, but in the first round, you don't take senior corners. You take the guys with the upside. I'm going to ask you a question, David. It's going to sound silly because they weren't taken, remotely close to the same time frame. But do you look at him as a major college Cortez Allen?
Cortez, I don't believe, played as much bump and run. Artie is a natural kind of bump and run guy. Now, here's the thing when you look at the tape on Artie. He played both sides at Miami. He even moved them around to the inside, sometimes in the kind of 5 yards off the line, kind of in the middle of the line, kind of as a rover, robber, if you will. They moved him around a lot, but there were curious times. I think the game against Florida State, it stuck out to me. There were times they just pulled him off the field for no apparent reason whatsoever for a couple plays, and it wasn't injury related. He is a guy that likes to be up on the line and try to get his licks in off the line and then kind of bump and run. He only gave up two touchdowns last year. One of them was kind of a nice scramble, kind of a delayed play where you have to stick with a wide receiver a long time and the quarterback kind of throws it up to the end zone. And Artie's just a tick late there. I believe that was the game against Nebraska, if I'm not mistaken. He also gave up a touchdown in the game against Virginia Tech. I'm trying to remember how that one went down. I've got the video of that one up on my Twitter feed somewhere. I can't remember. I watched so much damn tape on him last night. He has ball skills, David. That's a good sign. We talk about how Kevin Colbert and Mike Tomlin last year talked about, what was it, tangible evidence or something like that.
Tangible production.
Right, tangible production. Well, he had that. He had 6 interceptions last year. I'm not sure if you saw the video I put up at around 2 or 3 in the morning. I've got all 6 of those interceptions for people to see. He definitely has the ball skills. Let's see. Only allowed 22 receptions last year for 302 yards to 2 touchdowns. Only played 6, and this goes back to what I just said a little while ago. It's a bit curious. I know he had sat out the game against, Virginia, and was banged up in the game against Pitt. Only played 65% of the snaps last year, and that's kind of confusing, if you ask me.
It's kind of odd, yeah. It's odd.
I can understand if you told me, well, this guy had an ankle injury or this guy had a hammy, but that wasn't the case with him, David. And that's why I said that really stuck out the most to me in the game against Florida State, which, by the way, isn't bad tape. He played 50 snaps in that game, according to my charting. He was targeted 3 times. He gave up two catches for 26 yards. He had three tackles in that game. If you want to put in a good tape to get a quick, you know, you're not like me, you don't have time to watch a lot of tape, put on the game against Virginia Tech. He was targeted. I have him down for being targeted five times. He gave up one interception for 33 yards, that I talked about the lot, and that one reception for 33 yards was a touchdown. He had two tackles in that game, but he also had two of his interceptions in that game as well, too. Another good one would be the game against Pitt, I think. This is a guy, you know, you talk about major Power 5 conferences, right? And the Steelers like Power 5 conference guys, guys that have played against good competition. Here's some teams that he faced last year. He faced Cincinnati and that great receiver that we're probably going to see drafted today. Drawing a blank here. Moore, I think it is. Cincinnati had a good game against him. Two targets, one catch for 8 yards in that game against Cincinnati. So that was a good team he played against. I mentioned the Florida State game. I think at the time they were number 12. He played against Clemson last year. Please ignore him getting steamrolled by Bobo. that shouldn't happen. I've got that GIF up already. We'll talk about that in a minute. But a fairly clean game against Clemson. Other than that, played against Duke, who I think was number 22 at the time. Gave up four receptions by my charting for 42 yards in that game. Played against North Carolina, a good receiver there. And then obviously played against Pitt and a guy like Tyler Boyd, targeted twice and gave up one reception there. So, Mike Tomlin put it best, a raw piece of clay. A guy that's a natural bump corner. I think Kevin Colbert, was right in saying that he is a guy that's going to be treated like they do all their juniors, going to need some work in off coverage, going to need some work, you know, all the way around. The chance of this guy seeing the field early on in the defense, slim to none. He can help you with that speed on special teams. And here's the one other thing that sticks out on the film, David, when it comes to Artie Burns. With a guy with his arm length and his size, he shouldn't be pushed around by wide receivers the way he was pushed around last year. It's evident. He has problems struggling getting off blocks, and they're going to have to solve that with that stock blocking drill and everything that goes along with that. Not as great against the run as you would like to hope, but he's not afraid to get in there and mix it up. You just would like a guy to come up and pop a little bit more.
Better instincts, a little bit better instincts on the run. He's a willing run defender, but he just needs to he needs to watch film and study what he needs to do, take the right angles and get involved.
Right. And someone asked me about his football IQ. I don't have a good grasp on that yet, to be quite honest with you.
You're going to see games and games and games to have that. So I'm with you. Obviously he's not green like Cortez Allen green, but when you're raw, it's hard to know if that's just experience or if, Shamarco Thomas, you're just never going to get it. Right.
Right, and people ask above the neck football IQ and not having all 22, David. It makes it. How many times do we see the wide? Right, how many times do we see the corners and the wide receivers go out of frame? You know, it just you get some replays on some stuff that lets you know some stuff, but as a whole, it really is hard for us YouTubers to evaluate football IQ and above the neck and as far as that goes. How would I rate the pick?
I think you'll agree that it wasn't a reach. Maybe he went a little bit higher than people expected. I don't think anybody saw him as a top 20 guy, but this is where he goes from. He probably right where the Steelers pick to the first five picks in the second round. That's probably, if you're thinking about where he belongs on a value thing, that's probably where it is. So I don't think anybody was going to classify it as a reach, but probably in the front end of his value.
Would you settle for need reach?
Yeah. Yeah, they picked it. I'll settle for that.
Would you settle for remember Art Rooney? You know, they give us clues every year, David, and we just choose to ignore them, right? Art Rooney said we got to fix the pass defense. You know, we try to create our own narrative that out of some things that are said by, well, you know what, you can help your pass defense by bettering your pass rush.
Who would you have picked, Dave? If you were picking, who would you have picked?
I would have picked Billings or Noah Spence. Noah Spence is a guy I would have been willing to take the ecstasy history past on. And I think Billings, who obviously Billings, both those guys that I'm talking about dropped out of the first round. So what the hell do I know? But those are the guys
doesn't mean you won't be right.
Well, okay, I'll accept that, but Billings and Spence were the guys that I think I would have gone that direction. To me, this says we better get one of the end of these top rated cornerbacks, or else Mr. Rooney's going to be mad.
Yeah, here's the flip side: is there are so many good defensive linemen in this draft, and none of them went. So I'll be shocked now. I'm not shocked. I'll be surprised now if the Steelers don't go D-line in the second round. They're going to have a ton of guys. Your guy Hargraves is, you know, now even more likely to be on the board there because neither of the Alabama kids went and Billings didn't go. So I don't know if they're going to be a run on defensive line here in the second round. I'm excited to watch it, but it does set them up on the D-line here in the second round. Mackenzie Alexander, obviously they chose not to go that route. We all talked about wanting a bigger corner, and I think that's why they went this way. The two guys, the two big corners were off the board. This was your next one, so they took them.
Now, wait a minute. I do deserve a pat in the back with Mackenzie Alexander here, though, because I was one of the few right from the get-go that said this guy, you know, once I broke down 2 years of his tape, that said this guy does not belong in the first round. He's a second-round guy, and it seemed not that these major media guys reading my stuff and move guys down because of it, but I think they finally got around to the tape as well, too, because not long after I put, got that compilation up and all and really had a strong conviction that he was going to be a second-round guy, you started seeing him disappear from those mocks, of theirs. Now, he will go in this second round, I'm pretty convinced, but no time do I think Alexander should have been considered a first-round guy. However, I would have probably taken him before I would have Artie Burns, for whatever that's worth.
Whoa. He just dropped a bombshell there. In your last line on our Steeler commentary, that you would have taken Alexander over Artie Burns, and you think Alexander's a second-round guy, so you do think he was a reach.
Right. And I said at the top, talking about this, I had Artie Moore as a second round, in fact, a mid to second round guy. That's what I said.
I'm surprised, but I'm surprised to hear you say that you would have taken Alexander over Burns, because I was in Alexander's camp. Burns was kind of late for me to look at, and I'm kind of, I guess I'll be lukewarm on the pick. I'm glad they took a corner. I really am. And I'm sure you know what's so funny about the never able to please fan base. Is take a corner. We want you to take Jackson. Jackson's not on the board. What the hell are you doing taking a corner?
Oh, crap. Not that corner. That's reaction.
Take Jackson, goddammit.
They want the big names.
Why did you move up to get him?
I think it's fair to say that I'm not alone in having Alexander ranked ahead of Burns. I don't think I'm breaking it.
I agree. I was just I didn't know. I knew you weren't a huge fan of Alexander, not that you think he's a bad football player, that you just didn't think he was the right guy at 25. So I was just I hadn't heard you say that you liked Alexander better than Burns before. I guess is my only
point. Yeah, right. I had Alexander, probably the fifth corner. as far as my rankings went. So,
okay. So just a production note to all our listeners here at minute 55 of the podcast. Dave and I are going to go well past the hour mark. This will be our longest podcast in our six and three quarters year tenure. So just be fair, forewarned. We don't know when this is going to end.
Yeah, we're taking our watches off. Now here's the thing. We deserve to talk a lot about this pick and what might have transpire in day two of the draft here. So this was also a great question that I got on Twitter this morning. Had Artie Burns stayed in school and then, been in the draft next year, where would he have been ranked, overall in corners, and where would he have gone in the first round? And
in the first round, because you assume he's, unless he gets hurt, he's not going to get, you assume he's, we can talk about, you can have a bad year, and, you look at Cardale Jones and how the world changed for him. You assume guys like this who are raw are going to improve and probably improve their standing. But one of the things about having potential is, well, when you get put more stuff on tape, maybe people realize that you don't have that potential. So that's the question, unanswerable, obviously. But I would expect that you think he's going to rise.
Well, the thing is, I think he probably winds up going right where he went this year. I mean, would it make sense that he would be a 20 to, let's say, a 15 to 25 guy?
Yeah, I think the measurables are – they're solid, being 6 foot, going to be, let's say, 195 to 200. Would he be Eli Apple? Would he be the guy you say, okay, now he's got more experience? Apple obviously didn't have the experience, but he's got another year under his belt. And, would he be Hargraves, I guess, who you say, his upside here is he is a top 15, but no, I agree. Not probably above top 15, but again, kind of we're just throwing darts here.
So we can theorize that they got a future first round guy, even though some people had him as a first. Now people need to distinguish what we think and what other analysts think. Other analysts will have players ranked lower than what maybe you and I and Alex do, and then vice versa here. There's, in the grand scheme of things, there's no real winner, I guess, what we're trying to say. But I guess this is the best way to say it. I think Artie Burns would have benefited himself by staying another year. However, he ended up getting drafted in the first round. It had been interesting to see. Now here's another interesting way to look at it. Now his senior year will be spent in Pittsburgh. So that's a plus and a positive move moving forward. This guy obviously has not hit his upside. It might sound like, man, you guys are crapping all over this pick. It's just that we viewed him more as a kind of a second round guy where he's at now. Now, part of this process is trying to project what you have and where he might be at, in relation to his ceiling. And that's very, very hard to do, not only for the people that are paid to do that, but for us YouTubers on the outside as well, too. So there is a lot of people that believe his ceiling might very well produce one of the better cornerbacks in this draft. And that's very possible, being as how he looks so damn raw on tape. So now it's up to the Steelers to nurture and develop this piece of clay into getting every single thing out of him. And I think maybe that's the best way to describe it, is the Steelers have Artie Burns for his senior season of college.
Okay, fair enough. Let's finish out the first round, and we'll get into what's left and what we expect to have happen today. The Broncos give up a third. So, Dave, here's I'm going to make this assumption. I have no basis for it, but, it won't be the first time we've blown something out of our – I'm 100% sure Denver called the Steelers and offered a third-round pick. to probably move to 25, because that's exactly what they gave Denver to go to 26. I have to assume that they probably would have offered the same thing to the team in front of that's what they offered. Who'd they trade with? I'm drawing a blank. That's exactly what they offered the Seahawks,
Seattle,
to get to 26. Yeah. So I'm assuming they offered it to the Steelers. And I'm assuming Artie Burns was going to be on the board at 31. Well, why didn't the Steelers do the deal?
Well, that's what the speculation is. I think immediately after on NFL Network, they said that the Broncos, I believe that's what they said, that they called the Steelers as well, too. So,
yeah, I didn't hear that. But I want to say that I'm the genius who figured that out. But I think they got offered it. I would have done the deal in a second. And if Artie Burns is off the board, so be it.
The thing is, we'll never know, right? I mean, we can speculate.
Yeah, well, again, Colbert's memoirs 20 years from now.
The thing is,
you should be taking notes, because when I write Colbert's memoir, when I ghostwrite it for him, I need to know all the right things to ask about the drafts. You need to be keeping notes.
The way I write, you won't be able to read them.
You can read them to me.
your Yale education would do you no good when it comes to my writing. I would have one up on you. Here's the thing. People act like you push this trade button, you know, on the Madden. Oh, just trade out. Hit this button and down you go. It's like, look, I grew up in the video game era, David, but I was already on to other things and kind of missed out on the Madden craze that kind of came out after I had stopped playing video games, if you will, on running these franchises.
I've never played Madden, so I'm not your guy to empathize with, but I got it.
Right, So in other words, this isn't a video game virtual reality where you just push a button and you know, that they very well might have got a reasonable offer of just moving down one spot and picking up a third. And if indeed that's the case, they should have taken it. But hindsight,
okay, we agree on that. We agree on that. I think the offer was there. They turned it down. I don't know why, and I think they still would have gotten their guy. So, okay. So, look, for Denver, I give Dale Lawley credit. A month ago he speculated that they would move to 25 and to take a quarterback, whether it be Cook or Lynch. I don't have a view on Cook or Lynch. Denver, I'll trust in John Elway. They got their guy. They gave up a third. I have no problem with the deal. If you see a quarterback you like, you're giving up a third-round pick, you're Denver. You got Mark Sanchez as your guy right now. You didn't pull the trigger on Cap. You're not going to pull the trigger on Bradford. You're not going to pull the trigger on Hoyer. So, okay, these are your guys. Good. Good for Denver. They got a quarterback.
And here's back to this trade and mop it up one last thing here. That's a heck of a way to go down if you really are dead set on getting – really the last probably corner that they really, really wanted in round one.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no guarantee that, the Arizona Cardinals could use a corner too, right? The Carolina Panthers could use a corner, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's your concern, is Carolina's going corner.
So it's understandable why they didn't. We can speculate, well, boy, they should have traded down if they were going to get, Denver's third. And, everybody knows the deal that was kind of thrown out there and speculated about before the draft even got underway. The thing is if that was the one guy position need, blah, 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 they were looking for, that's a heck of a risk, and I understand why they did not trade down.
Okay, so now the surprise here is, Dave, in the next four picks, three defensive linemen go, and neither Alabama defensive lineman goes, and Reggie Ragland doesn't go, and Miles Jack is still on the board. I mean, let's start with Miles Jack, because the next pick is at 27. The UCLA guy goes off the board, Kenny Clark. Look, I think everybody thinks Clark and DJ, Vernon Butler, all good players, and DJ carries the baggage. Who's going to be the best? You know, they bring different things. I mean, Clark's kind of a pure run stuffer in the middle of the line. You know, Butler, you know, I think similar. I would think you would call them somewhat similar. And DJ brings a little bit different, more athleticism and more high-end ceiling than the other two guys. But you have three defensive linemen go. Miles Jack, Dave, my understanding was on the recheck on the medicals was that there was no structural damage and that the issue was going to be, will his knee stand up to the, you know, the rigors of the NFL? I start hearing, literally I'm with a guy who 20 minutes before the draft, we're talking about who the Giants are going to take. And he's like, I hope Jack falls to us. And he said, I'm worried about this microfracture surgery. All of a sudden I'm hearing he may have to have microfracture surgery before the season, which means, you know, you might not play. You might not play this year. You might not play ever. So clearly this is going around. What were they saying about Miles Jack?
Oh, just that. And look, I don't think it's been known for a little while now that he might need microfracture surgery. And that's been the whole kind of thing. How far will this kind of, this knee, cause him to drop? And obviously it caused him to drop. It's a manageable problem now, from my understanding of what the reports are out there, but it's also kind of an understood that he's going to need microfracture surgery at some point. So you could be looking at a, and you know, that's a risky type thing. And especially if you're attaching yourself to a guy that not only are you hoping to get 4 years out of, you're hoping to be able to use a fifth year option on this guy as well too. So you talk about risk and everything that goes along. We heard Kevin Colbert talk extensively about that. You know, evidently the medicals aren't where teams would like them, and that's what it comes down to. Now, will a team take a shot on him now in the second round? There's probably a good chance of that now, because that's kind of the round that you see teams do it. I had a feeling he might drop, but I did not think he'd drop as far as, you know, out of the first round completely. So that lets you know right there, if you got 31 guys, you know, passing on you, albeit he's not going to be a fit for all of them anyway, there's something more to that.
But pretty close because of all the different things he can do. I mean, it's hard to, you know, it's like the kid for the Raiders. Help me. Kid.
Who, Joseph?
No, the kid for the Raiders. On the Raiders, the stud edge rusher, you know, Mr. Everything, took him fifth overall.
Oh, Mack?
Khalil Mack, right. I mean, you know, Khalil Mack, I don't care what system you're playing, you know, you put him in. And I think people looked at Miles Jack a little bit like Khalil Mack and thought about him as like the fifth overall pick, and now, you know, this explodes, basically. So, Dave, let me ask you then, these three picks, we've got of Kenny Clark, Robert Mdiche, and Vernon Butler. Did one stand out to you in your film study above the others? Not for the Steelers necessarily, but in terms of who do you think has the highest ceiling? And if you had to pick one of the three to be the best player, who would you have taken?
I would have ranked Butler first. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
I view him more as a top 20 player, one of the better defensive tackles, in this year's class. Kenny Clark.
Do you think he could play in a 3-4 as a nose?
Yeah. For what the Steelers ask of their guys inside, yes.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Kenny Clark, I had more as a second round guy, not as good of kind of a scheme fit. And Kim Dichi, just the baggage, you know, that comes with that. You know, he would have been off my board.
Yeah, Kim Dichi is, you know, again, it's, you know, a guy tells me he the building that he quote unquote fell out of was across the street from his office, and he saw them working on the window the next day. So first of all, the story was fourth floor. It was second floor, and apparently he didn't fall out of the window. He jumped out of the window. It was kind of like the Chandler Jones situation where, you know, synthetic weed and he's hallucinating and whatever. He had an issue and he jumped out the window. So it wasn't four stories, but anyway, he didn't fall out the window. But he said he did some damage to the window. So there's a little inside draft for you. Okay, so Clark goes to Green Bay at 27. They needed that interior line presence. And look, Green Bay continues to be one of the best drafting teams. Hard to argue with that. Dave, the next pick to me was, again, not to kill the player, because I think you and I both like the player a lot, but this to me was the worst pick of the first round, probably, with Garnett going here, because they traded into the round and they gave up a fourth and a sixth to do it. Are we sure he's not on the board 10 picks later?
Look, I love the kid.
Yeah, I know, and I like him.
You know how me and guards are. I love those guys that can run to power and guys that can play. Let me ask you this: if I told you Garnett's going to be your guard for the next 10 years, and he's going to be a Pro Bowler, how do you feel about trading in there and getting him?
Well, you know, look, I look at him like David DeCastro. I mean, right?
Sure,
I mean,
sure. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, it's a fair comparison. The stuff he said at the combine, you had to love, like, you know, I want to block, you know, run through his guy's soul, whatever the line was. It was pretty funny. He's obviously a smart guy. I mean, they're all obvious comparisons to DeCastro. Both went to Stanford, get taken around the same spot here. I love the football player. I'm just, you know, they moved up 9 spots. I just wonder if he would have been there. But, okay, it is what it is. And DJ goes
to
Arizona.
Let me get this straight. I'm defending Chip Kelly and you're wait a minute. What is this, a bizarro this is, instead of the terrible podcast, this is the awesome podcast today. Everything's right. Reversed. Up is down. This is the Seinfeld bizarro episode here.
The awesome podcast.
People know that's wrong. I have no issue with. I love the player, David, and like I said,
I love the player too.
If I would have told you, if we knew, had a crystal ball right now, and he plays 9-10 years in the league and multi-time Pro Bowler, you'd do this in a heartbeat.
Okay, so we go through the defensive line in the last pick of the first round, and here's where I think, you know, the people who did our challenge, our 40 challenge, we'll call it, getting everybody. The reason I'm guessing nobody got it right is I don't think anybody probably had. I'd be surprised if any people had. But look, this was an easy year, way easier than last year. I think there's a chance somebody got this right, but the reason most people didn't, I'm assuming, is they didn't have two interior linemen after, you know, obviously the center goes to Indianapolis. They didn't have Garnett and Ifeidi on their list. They might have had one. I'd be surprised if a lot of people had both, two guards going on the first round. So Seattle goes Ifeidi. Good on them for, doing the trade and getting an extra third to move back. Their offensive line has been the worst offensive line in the NFL the last 2 or 3 years, and they've still been successful. So, you know, they got a player.
Yeah, they addressed a need. It's way early than I would have probably taken him, that's for sure.
I mean,
maybe, hey, look at this. Maybe we know why now San Francisco jumped up ahead of them.
Well, that's fair. That's absolutely fair, saying, look, Seattle's going to take – and you know, who knows which guy they take if they have the choice, but it's just like the Steelers. We'll never know if it was Jackson or if it was Burns for Seattle. We'll never know if it was Garnett Garnett or Ifeidi. But, okay, so they go. Now, what's the biggest surprise here? Now, Miles Jack, let's not call him a surprise anymore because, you know, we know why it was a medical thing. Is Reggie Ragland the biggest surprise to you that he didn't go?
Well, look, if you look at the past, inside linebackers normally, like guards, get the shaft, right? Especially if they're kind of scheme-specific, maybe more slanted to 3-4 types. Those guys, those non-running chase guys kind of get the shaft. Here's the thing, too. Alabama took him off the field third downs quite a bit. There is good reason to believe that he's only going to be a two-down linebacker in the NFL. And if that's what other teams are thinking as well, too, that's why he dropped out of the first round.
Yeah. Okay.
And plus, there was that you heard about that aorta. What was it? Him? Who was the one with the aorta? Was it him?
No, I don't know. I don't know what you're referring to. So.
The report right before the draft started yesterday, flagged with an enlarged aorta. Yesterday, right before the draft, I think it was Ian Rappaport said that Reggie Ragland had been flagged with an enlarged aorta, but it's not a not a huge concern. Evidently,
okay,
it was.
Well, yeah, you know. Just to circle back, the other thing we didn't mention about Tunsil is admitting taking money from a Mississippi coach. Now, first of all, is anybody surprised that Ole Miss, 3 years ago, out of nowhere, has the best recruiting class in the country? They get Treadwell, they get Kimdichie, and they get one other guy I'm drawing a blank on. So they have this, unbelievable recruiting class. Are we walking around thinking there was no cash involved in any of that? They just happen to hit on everybody?
They all do it, David. Just some get caught, right?
It's the greatest – that great article. If you've never seen it, go – it's an SB Nation article. It's called The Bag Man. Came out about 2 years ago, and it's just a great look at SEC, the underworld of the SEC, and how boosters are paying money. We all know this goes on. It's ridiculous. But, again, it's like maybe not the perfect time for Tunsil to be having that conversation. And Ole Miss is going to get – the book thrown at him again. So, anyway, all right. So,
hey, what the hell is that ding I keep hearing? I keep thinking my Easy Bake oven cake is about ready.
It's like your clown horn, man. It's like when somebody sends me a text message, but it's in my computer, not on my phone. So I'm very popular.
Is your ding more aggravating than my clown horn?
Well, let's ask our audience, what's more aggravating, ding or?
Oh yeah, good one. I keep saying either that or I think I'm on that old game show password. The password is ding.
Blank.
Carry on.
Okay, so very interesting that of the best players left on the board, you've got certainly three Alabama guys are in basically everybody's top five or six. You've got, of course, Ragland is one of them. And then you got the two defensive linemen, A'shaun Robinson, who came in to visit the Steelers, and Jerron Reed. Both those guys there. There's no way they both fall to the Steelers, but interesting. So you look at the best guys left, and I'll just from Kuiper's list, he lists Jack, the three Alabama guys, Von Bell, the safety for the Steelers. If he were there when the Steelers picked, of course he would be a guy they would take, but he's not going to be there. Kevin Dodd, the defensive end from Clemson, he'll be gone by the time the Steelers pick. You've got to assume Connor Cook's going to go as the next quarterback here early in the second round. Andrew Billings, I assume he'll be gone, Dave. And then Noah Spence, I'm assuming he'll be gone. Then I think the world's open. And I think your second-round pick for the Steelers is absolutely very much as reasonable as any other pick, Hargraves. That may go to the Steelers in the second round.
Yeah, with Billing, you have to wonder how far do teams do boards across the NFL see the gap between Billings and Hargrave, and if that gap is as large as we think it is, maybe this winds up pushing because look, you already talked about the there's a lot of defensive tackles still on the board, right?
I'm just going to say this. I'll let you finish your thought, so I don't forget. I want to hear what you think of Chris Jones.
you evidently haven't listened to a few podcasts that Alex and I had done. I think he's one of the most overrated players. In fact, we had the session at the end of the talk that Alex and I did the other day, talking about who is the most overrated player that you're tired of hearing about. In this year's class, and in my opinion, it's Chris Jones.
I'm with you. I wouldn't touch him.
I've said all throughout this draft process, back when I turned the tape on him originally, which has been about, I guess, 8 or 9 weeks ago, I don't get it. Yes, he has his moments. Yes, there is the there are the traits that you like, but and while you can't judge players by stats and stats alone, where was the freaking production at? And why didn't he play? Why was he pulled off the field so much there? You know, okay, I get it, one-year starter. Well, why wasn't he on the field 85, 90, 90% of the time? And where, like I said, where was the production? You can dance all you – you can look good doing a lot of several things, David, but unless you finish – it don't mean a hill of beans, and I have been the most animate about this player. I am not shocked one bit. Plus, on top of it, he takes plays off, and there's questions about his dedication and his work ethic. And if there's one player I'm not surprised didn't get taken last night that several people were telling me slam dunk first rounder, it's Chris Jones. Now, with that said, Back to my thought. If the gap between Hargrave and Billings is as big as what I think it might be, maybe there's a chance Hargrave drops into the third round. Okay, I'm not going to guarantee that, but you would think that Billings is going to go off the board soon. You're going to think Sheldon Day out of Notre Dame is going to go off the board soon. A'shaun Robinson, who the Steelers brought in for a pre-draft visit, you have to think he's in the discussion right about now as well too. Those are names already for you to keep eyes on if you're a Steelers fan. I love Sterling Shepard and I don't think he's going to be there, but oh boy, Twitter's going to break if the Steelers draft Sterling Shepard. But I wouldn't put it past
him. I have to say, you know, I wasn't thinking specifically about the name, but when you put a name to it. I love Sterling. I'm maybe not quite the man crush that you have on Sterling Shepard, but I love the guy. It's not who I want them to take, but if they took him, I wouldn't be disappointed because I think he's awesome.
And it's not that that's the move I think they should make. It's I can see them making it because everything about him screams a Steelers wide receiver.
Well, and yeah, okay? The thing, look, I mean, you know, we can talk about all the defensive needs, and we all think they're going to go there, but let's just be honest about the fact that, you know, Martavis Bryant and Marcus Wheaton are, as you know, likely to be non-Steelers next year. So, you know, you've got that leaves you with what it leaves you, and it's, you know, there's not a lot behind that.
And people, for a section of my readership, David, just gets absolutely irate when I throw that at the when I throw the facts out there that Marcus Wheaton's unlikely to be back next year, and God knows what's going to happen with Martavis Bryant. And really, at this point, we can all be positive about Sammy Coates, and we should be positive about Sammy Coates, but. There's a lot that we don't – this is really going to be the year where we're going to have to see big production. But even then, you don't have someone in the wings. And even if you draft Sterling Shepard this year, he is a guy that can maybe help you on special teams and a guy that could potentially see playing time late in the season and could potentially be a starter and take over Marcus Wheaton's spot next year at this time. So don't discount. I just don't understand why people can't see that this is a kind of a need right now. And you just don't draft wide receivers as rookies when you draft as late as the Steelers do year in and year out and plug and play them. Agreed?
Agreed.
And if that's the case, then you have to take them a year earlier than when you want them to play, like they did with Sammy Coates. So I like DHB Darius Hayward Bay as much as the next guy, but don't try to sell me you being comfortable with him being your number three for the next 2 years, because that's a lie.
Okay. So let's get back to what's on the board here for today, and let's you know take a shot at throwing out a couple other names. Who's a safety who might be in play today for the Steelers?
maybe Justin Simmons, maybe Darian Thompson.
Yeah, so Justin Simmons, I think today, maybe third round guy, the kid from BC. We both love him. Yeah, you'd love to get him in the third round if you could. Is there a guy in the second round that you like?
Darian Thompson, the Boise State kid.
Yep.
Didn't run the best, but you talk about guys with takeaways and guys that can deliver the hammer. Both those guys, two guys I just mentioned, scream Steelers. Jeremy Cash is still out there, who the Steelers had in for the visit. I mean, Von Bell, Jesus. I mean, what safety? What top rated safety did they not bring in? Any of those safeties that they brought in, you must circle the mid round guys as a possibility to be day two picks. Yeah, I mean, hello, Captain Obvious. And a three or four of these guys are legitimate mid-round guys who fit what the Steelers do. I didn't mock him to the Steelers, but I really like Justin Simmons. He just screams. He's the wide receiver version of, or the safety version of, a Sterling Shepard. He screams a Steeler safety.
All right, Dave, I think we set a record here with about a 90-minute podcast on one round of the draft. Imagine what it's like going to be like tomorrow when we do this with two rounds. We might be here all day. But good stuff. It was an engaging first round. The Steelers got a corner for the first time since 97. They didn't get the corner the fan base wanted, but he wasn't available. He's a bigger guy. We'll see how it plays out. And now rounds two and three, a chance to add to the defense. Okay, let's put percentages. I'm going to say it's 75% that both players we're talking about tomorrow are defensive players. Do you think it's 50-50? Do you think it's 75? What do you think it is?
Yeah, I would probably go that route. I mean, look, Kevin Colbert's told us time and time again it's a defensive draft. If they go any position other than defense, it's going to be wide receiver, in my opinion. And, Sterling Shepard's likely – that's likely to be off the board anyway. I mocked Braxton Miller to the Steelers, in the third round. I think that's a possibility. There's a whole Tyler Boyd maybe possibility in the third as well. You know, say what you will. So I think there is a good chance that we're talking about the first three picks being defensive picks. However, it would not surprise me, as I've said for several weeks now, if one of those players was a wide receiver. I think you'd still get a good a decent safety in round four of this draft, but not so much with defensive linemen that fit what the Steelers want them to do. So I think it's, I don't want to say guaranteed, I like the chances of a defensive lineman being
I'll go 75% it's a defensive lineman in round two.
Yeah, that's fair enough. And if not, maybe they wait at that point. You know, maybe they wait a little while. Safety is going to be addressed at some point too. Just we don't know how soon. Maybe it is. Maybe a guy like Justin Simmons falls to you in the third. Maybe like I said, maybe Hargrave through all this mess gets pushed down because of him being an FCS guy on top.
Would you be thrilled to death if we're here tomorrow talking about Hargraves and Simmons?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Sign me up immediately.
Yeah, absolutely I would. So, boy, I'm glad we're not paid on accuracy on predicting these things, right?
Well, so is everybody else in the world.
Just goes to show you, well, there's
our cue.
there's my easy bake oven pie. I love doing this, and look, I mean, what fun is it if you can't speculate? And I'm never going to have a mock draft like I had during the first or second year that we were doing this show when I hit, three of the Steelers' three of the first four picks and just had kind of a couple of rounds messed up. That's quite a bar at this point. I look forward to an exciting day as well. We'll be back to talk about it maybe Saturday.
Yep, we'll be back tomorrow. We'll bang it out tomorrow.
All right. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. You can follow David M. Todd on Twitter at David M. Todd. Follow Alex Cazora at Alex underscore Cazora. Follow the show at Terrible Podcast. Email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. David, I would do these for 4 hours at a time if you would let me, but I know you won't. Thank you for going an hour and a half with me today, and enjoy the rest of your time out there in Las Vegas, and I'll probably talk to you tomorrow. Not Las Vegas, Los Angeles.
As always, thanks for listening to the awesome podcast with Dave and Dave.